Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, please note that on Wednesdays when I give the Bhagavatam class in the morning, I don't give the Tika class. Okay, so there will not be a Tika class today. And who has an exam? First year group, yeah. Okay, 16.7. Kimcha brahmapadena sarvam kalvidam brahma iti prasidam vyajya sadvadi guna maya mayayas tad ananyatvepi nirgunas yeti prakritagunayar aspishtatvam angikritya tesham bahir angatvam svikritam. What is more, even while this word Brahman alludes to the well-known statement, everything in this world indeed is Brahman, which is from the Chandogya Upanishad, third chapter, and thus implies that Maya, who consists of the modes of goodness and so on, is non-different from him because everything is Brahman. At the same time, by saying that he is without qualities, it is acknowledged that he is untouched by the modes of matter, of nature, and thus it is also accepted as fact that the modes are his external energies. Okay. Tadetad eva mayam cha prakritim vidyat ityesha shruti. That is from the Svetashvata Upanishad. Svi chakara mayam cha tadapashrayam iti van maheshwara twat mayaya bahir angaya ashraya iti tam para buya stitam iti cha labhyate. The Shruti statement, no material nature to be the energy of illusion, expresses this same acknowledgement in a similar way as stated in the words, and he, Vyas, saw the illusory energy under his, the Supreme Lord's shelter, in an inferior position. It can be inferred from that statement that Maya, the external energy, takes shelter of the Supreme Lord because he is the ultimate controller, and that he keeps her subjugated. He keeps Maya subjugated. Thus, here as before, it is proven that every one of his energies... I didn't read the Sanskrit. Okay. Tasmat purvavad atrapi shakti matrasya svabhavikatvam maya dosha sprishtatvam chasaditam. Thus, here as before, it is proven that every one of his energies expands from him naturally. Okay. And that he is untouched by the faults of material illusion. I mean, translating the word svabhavika as expanding naturally, which is okay. It could also be understood as meaning that they act autonomously, but in this context, this fits. Svabhavika basically means it comes from the svabhava. It's natural, innate. So all of the Lord's energies, not just his superior energies. And so the logical argument can be formulated thus. Brahman possesses his own natural energies. Ata eva prayogas chayam brahma svabhavika shaktimad vastutvat agnivat vyatireke shashavishanavad iti. Okay, here is a logical reasoning using both positive and negative examples. Brahman possesses his own natural energies because he is a real thing, like fire. And unlike a rabbit's horn or other absurdity. So, we want to prove Brahman possesses his own natural energies. That's the thesis. Okay? The reason is because he's a real thing. The idea is anything that is a real thing has energies, so its own energies. That universal principle is supposed to be there. It's stated we read the quote that stated that, or it was actually Parashara who said that. All things have their own innate energies. So Brahman is a real thing, so it has its own innate energies. Now, examples, positive and negative. Another thing that has its own energies, is real and has its own energies, is fire. Fire has its heat, innate quality, energy. A rabbit's horn doesn't exist, so it doesn't have any energies. That's a counterexample. The counterexample, the logic has to be inverted. If A, wherever A there is B, then the converse is wherever there isn't B, there isn't A. Okay? So wherever, whatever doesn't have energy, no, wait a minute. Yeah, whatever, if something doesn't have energies, it isn't real. Yeah, because anything that's real has energies. Anything that doesn't have energies can't be real. All real things have innate energies. Anything that has no innate energies isn't real. Doesn't exist. So the example, the counterexample is the rabbit's horn. It doesn't exist and it doesn't have any energies. Okay, continuing. Shrutau cha mayam tu prakritim vidyan mayinam tu maheshwaram iti shri gitopanishat su cha gyeyam yattat pravakshyami yagyat vamritam ashnute anadi matparam brahma nasat tannasad uchyate. Sarvatak panipadam tat ityadi, and so on. This is also said by Shruti. No material nature to be the deluding energy, and the Supreme Lord to be the possessor of that illusory energy. The word of is missing. And in the Gita Upanishad, in the verses beginning, I shall now explain the knowable, knowing which you will taste the eternal. Brahman, the spirit, beginningless and subordinate to me, lies beyond the cause and effect of this material world. Everywhere are his hands and legs. Okay. Actually, I can do it right here. I can do it right here. Okay. Sorry, I'm mumbling to myself. Okay. Notice in this verse the line Anadi Matparam Brahma, which Prabhupada translates, it's subordinate to me. And subordinate to me, Matparam. The Mayavadis take the same words and read it differently. Anadi hyphen mut, space param. That has no beginning and is supreme, Brahman. So the Mayavadis avoid Krishna's statement that that Brahman is subordinate to him by reading the words differently connected. Anadi mut, it doesn't have any beginning. Param, Brahma, and that Brahman is param, period. Is superior, and there's no, and they get around the Matparam phrase. Of course, you can also otherwise interpret Matparam. You can take it to mean superior to me.
Here's the commentary. In this commentary, the verses were, some statements were referred to only by one line, so I give the whole verse just to put it in context. Another verse of the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, 4:10, states, Mayam tu Prakritim Vidyan, Mayinam tu Maheshwaram, Tasyavayava Bhutais tu Vyaptam Sarvam Idam Jagat. Understand that Maya is material nature, and the magician, the Mayi, who possesses Maya, is the Supreme Lord. His finite expansions of living souls fill this entire created world. The avayava bhutas, those who exist as his parts, we can take that to mean the jivas, by them this whole world is pervaded. In other words, maya, the power of illusion, is the same as prakriti, material nature. Maheshwara, the Supreme Lord, is the possessor of maya. His separate parts live throughout the world that is created by prakriti. When Srila Vedavyas meditated in preparation for compiling Srimad Bhagavatam, he saw maya's dependence on the personality of Godhead. Bhakti yoge namanasi samyak pranihite male apashyat purusham purnam mayam chatarapashrayam. Thus he fixed his mind, perfectly engaging it by linking it in devotional service without any tinge of materialism. And thus he saw the absolute personality of Godhead, along with his external energy, which was under full control. Continuing, Maya's domain is outside that of the Lord's potencies of eternal knowledge and bliss. She rules over the malleable substance of illusion and over the living beings who want to enjoy it. Her Lord is Maheshwara, the ultimate controller of everything. The Supreme Truth is a real entity, and like other real entities, it must have its own innate potencies. Fire, for example, is real, and it has its potencies of heat and light. A rabbit's horn is unreal, and it has no potencies. This Anucheda began with the assertion that the Supreme's energies are swabhavika, meaning that they belong to his very essence. They are real, but their existence is totally dependent on him. In the beginning of the Anucheda, the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam was cited as primary evidence for this, and it has now been corroborated by references from other authoritative scriptures. We had the Vishnu Purana, and then several statements from a few different Upanishads. So, all the Lord's energies are swabhavika. They're all his personal energies. They all belong to his nature directly, and therefore they're all real. Even the so-called illusory energy, Maya, is a real energy. This is where we differ from the Mayavadis. They take Maya, they deny that Maya is real. All duality to them, for them, cannot be real. There is illusion created, but the energy that creates the illusion is real. The illusion is in our understanding. Okay, moving on. 16.8. Atreyam Prakriya. The line of reasoning is as follows. Okay, so we're still on the same train of thought, but now we're going to spell it out even more logically. Ekameva tatparamam tatvam swabhavikachintya-shaktya sarva-daiva svarupa-tadrupa-vaibhava-jiva-pratana-rupena Chaturda avatishtate. That one Supreme Lord, so he's supposed to be one, but by his natural and inconceivable energies, is
always situated in four forms. The one becomes four, as his essential self, his non-different opulences, the finite souls, and the primeval material nature. Suryantar Mandala Sta Teja Iva Mandala Tad Bahirgata Rashmi Tvat Pratichavi Rupena. He's in these four forms like the radiant potency of the globe of the sun, appearing as the sun globe, the rays outside it, and its reflections. Okay. Those are four entities that are analogous to the four forms the Supreme takes. Thus, there is the verse of Sri Vishnu Purana. Evam eva Sri Vishnu Purani Ekadesha stitas yagner jyotsna vistarini yata Parasya brahmanat shaktis tatedam akilam jagat yasya iti yasya basa sarvamidam vibhati iti shute. Previously that was quoted as tasya basa in the Katha Upanishad. Maybe this is a slightly different version, comes in some other part of the Upanishad or some other Upanishad. Anyway. Oh. Where are we here? Thus there is the verse of Sri Vishnu Purana. As the light from a fire located in one place expands through space, so the energy of the Supreme Brahman pervades this whole universe. And also the statement of Shruti, by his light, all this gives light. The presumption, atra vyapakatvadina tat samavesh adi anupapattish cha shaktir achintya twainaiva parahata. The presumption that qualities of Brahman's, such as his all-pervasiveness, preclude, that means don't allow, his entering his various expansions, is here dispelled by the inconceivability of his energy. In other words, because he has inconceivable energy, Brahman can enter his various expansions. Why do we say enter? Is that word actually here? Yes, yeah, samavesh. Maybe enter is not the right word. I'm marking it. Anyway, Brahman appears in his various forms. And those forms, many of them are limited in space, his material forms, the forms of matter that expand from him, especially are limited in space and time. He's all-pervading. But he, by his inconceivable energies, can do this, can expand into finite entities. Samavesh. He also enters them as the Supersoul. Supersoul is all-pervading, but he enters the small space of the living entity's heart. Okay. Now, inconceivable energies.
Durgata Ghatakatvam hi achintyatvam. This is explanation of what it means to be achintya. Inconceivability means the capacity to make the unlikely feasible. The Durgata, which is impossible or unlikely, very hard to imagine or hard to explain. Ghatakatvam, that which can make happen what otherwise can't be made happen. That is inconceivability. Shakti chasa trida. Antaranga tatasta bahiranga cha. There are moreover three kinds of energy: internal, marginal, and external. Tatrantar angaya surupa shaktiakaya ya surya tanmandala staniya purnenaiva surupena vaikuntadi surupa vaivava rupena cha tad avatishtate. Among these, it is by the internal energy, known as the Lord's Swarup Shakti, that he is situated in his full original identity, with his personal opulences, including Vaikuntha, represented respectively by the sun god and the sun globe. Okay. By the internal energy, his Swarup Shakti, the Lord is there in his original self, and he has his personal opulences like the place where he lives. The original Lord is compared to the sun god, and then there's the planet, the physical planet of the sun, that's like the personal opulences expanding from the Supreme Lord. His body, his world, and so on. Tatastaya rashmi staniya chid ekatma shuta jiva rupena. By his marginal energy, he appears as the pure finite souls, who are non-different from him as pure spirit, and are represented by the sun's rays. The separated, marginal, or finite, marginal energies. Bahir angaya, mayakyaya, pratichavigata svarna shavalya staniya, tadiya bahir anga vaibhava jaratma pradana rupena, cheti chatur datvam. By his external energy called maya, he appears as material nature, comprising his inert opulence and represented by the admixture of colors and reflections of the sun. He thus becomes fourfold. The sunlight is pure. I think the color of it depends on the heat of it. The sun, I think, is the light is... Is it white or yellow, the sunlight? I don't remember. Anyway, whatever color it is, but when the sun's rays are reflected on something else, another color may appear because of the interference of the reflecting medium. That's like the material nature, which is a distorted reflection of the absolute truth. And that's the fourth form. The Lord appears in those four forms. There's a commentary. The Supreme Lord's spiritual nature is eternal, including his confidential shaktis and the finite living beings. All manifestations of material duality are temporary. They come into being, change, and go out of existence. But although the forms of matter
are always in flux, changing, there is an underlying state of matter called pradana, which is not. It's not changing. At the time of universal annihilation, the elements withdraw back into the pradana and remain there in an unmanifest dormancy until the next cycle of creation begins. When everything again evolves from the pradana, matter in its primeval form of pradana is thus also eternal. What changes can't be eternal. What's eternal doesn't change. But there is the original form of nature is unchanging. So that original nature can be and is eternal. The things that nature evolves into, they're all temporary. But nature herself in her original form is eternal and unchanging. Prakriti, ruler of the pradana, is of course eternal. The demigoddess who rules pradana is eternal because she is one of the Lord's personal shaktis. A disbeliever in this energetic theology might object that since Brahman is all-pervading, undivided, and unchanging, it cannot possibly enter itself into the varieties of duality, which would be an act of becoming limited in size, divided, and transformed. Nor could inactive Brahman inspire the activities of living things and the movements of matter. Yes, unmodified Brahman cannot do any of these things, but Brahman does in fact have his inconceivable potencies, the agencies by which he can modify himself. Brahman exists by himself and also expands into other forms, the spiritual variety, the finite souls, and the material world, by his three kinds of energies, internal, marginal, and external. The variety of the spiritual world is eternal and perfect, but the imperfect reflection of it in the material creation is insubstantial and unstable. A false semblance of variety that will very soon crumble into the elements it was made of, and then back into the pradana. It is no more real than the dancing of colored light reflected on a wall. Let me add one more sentence, and then stop. The marginal souls are free to participate in either eternal or ephemeral life. Yes, sir. Could you give him the microphone? Yeah, we're recording this.
Yeah. The Brahman reflects itself, and that's the external potency, or the reflection of Brahman is compared to the external potency here.
Okay.
Bahirangaya maya khyaya pratichhabi gata varana. In that last statement,
Let's see. Go ahead. Yes.
So the question is, where does this reflection fall?
What's the medium in which the reflection occurs?
Yes. Where does this reflection occur? And if that place where the reflection occurs is different from Brahman?
Well, the Mayavadis get stuck. They cannot properly answer that. There can't be a separate thing for Brahman to reflect in because there's only Brahman.
Yeah.
It would have to reflect on itself. Mm-hmm. And then we get all sorts of problems. You know, Brahman is becoming dual, then he's got duality in him.
Yeah.
That contradicts the whole first assumption of the definition of Brahman. But we can explain it from the personal point of view. Mm-hmm. That Prakriti, pradana, is the medium on which the modes out of which and also upon which the reflection occurs. The reflection is not... Does it really say... Could you read me the words and where are they?
So that means that the reflection, when the reflection occurs, all the...
Well, let's try to understand what kind of reflection we're talking about exactly. But can you show me where the words are?
Yeah. It's the last paragraph of 16.8.
Okay.
Bahirangaya maya khyaya pratichhavi kata varna shavalya sthaniya.
Oh, but sthaniya means that it's comparable to. You know, that's the analogy is a reflection. That's what I thought. We're not saying that...
It's not exactly like a reflection.
Yeah, it's not that there's literally... It's not that it's a process of reflection.
Uh-huh.
That's the Mayavadis try to say that. They present this...
Pratibimbavad.
Pratibimbavad.
Yeah.
But that's not actually Shastra. Well, yeah, there is mention of Pratibimbavad, but really... The idea of pratibimbha is just an analogy.
It seems like
it's like a reflection.
It seems like Jiva Goswami is trying to say the same thing as pratibimbavada, because he's not so clear here.
What makes it clearer is that it's sthaniya. It's represented metaphorically as a reflection.
Okay.
You know, literally, it's more real than a reflection. Okay. It's a real energy.
Yeah.
It's not just an image. The image is not the real thing. Image of the sun is not the sun.
Yeah.
Image of the sun doesn't have the power that the sun does.
Yeah.
But the jiva is a real expansion, and all the other energies are real expansions of the Supreme. They're not just images or false representations.
So that means that Bahiranga Shakti...
But there is a sense in which they are images, because the jiva, like the reflection of the sun... The jiva doesn't have all the potencies of the original that it's expanding from.
Yes.
In that sense, it's a reflection.
Yes.
In that a reflection doesn't have all the energies of the original.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not in all senses a reflection. So it's just a metaphor.
Yeah, so I have one more question.
Yeah.
It is said here that the energy of Brahman is reflected. So this is the Tatastha Shakti which is reflected into Pradhana, or it's... Because the
where does it say that the energies of Brahman are reflected?
Yeah, it's same paragraph here.
Yeah.
Tatasthaya rashmi sthaniya chida ekatma shuddha jiva rupena bahirangaya maya khyaya pratichhavi. So...
The verb is not reflect,
yes.
But it's avatishtate.
Yes.
Is present. And avatishtate means to stand on top of something.
Mm-hmm.
Adityashtate is to be the substratum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sitting on the rug.
Mm-hmm.
The rug is the substratum.
Mm-hmm.
So I can say that I avatishtami,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sitting on the rug.
Okay.
So that's the verb. It's not reflect.
Oh, okay.
The analogy is analogy of reflection.
Yes.
But that's sthaniya, and the word sthaniya is there in that phrase too, rashmi sthaniya. So it's metaphorically represented as rays reflecting from the sun.
Okay, so these...
But it's really a relationship of something sitting on top of something else.
Okay.
Of a sthanam.
Uh-huh. So are the rays being reflected on pradhana or what? The rays which are coming out of the sun, that means the living entities, are they reflected in pradhana? And that creates the inert matter? Jada vaibhava? What's exactly...
Well, no, the Lord glances at pradhana. What actually happens, the Lord looks at pradhana,
uh-huh.
And the rays come out of his eye containing the jivas and various potencies, including time,
mm-hmm.
and shambhu, are contained in the glance. The glands actually enters, physically enters pradhan.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just... I mean, reflection is like that too. Reflection involves the moving around of light rays. But it's not just that the jivas originally are Brahman. They are God. But they just seem, by an illusory reflection, to be finite entities. No, there are real finite entities. They were sleeping in the body of Brahman, and they came out through his glands, literally, and were injected into pradhan. So that's not a reflection. That's not really a reflection. That's something more concrete than
it's
a reflection.
It's like injection.
Yeah.
We can call it injection instead of reflection.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. But that's not being discussed here. You know, what the process is.
Yeah,
it just says avatishtate, that they're founded on Brahman.
Okay.
They're coming from Brahman.
Okay.
The actual process of coming is described somewhere else, not here.
Okay.
Ah, the reflection business, that just is the substance of the metaphor, not of the actual fact. It's like a reflection to some extent. All right. That was 16.8. Actually, our protocol is that questions are not to be asked during class, because we used to do that and we got off on all sorts of tangents. So, actually, questions should be submitted to be answered the next morning. You can do it. We have a comm conference and also a web forum. And you can put the questions there, or else you can drop them on my desk. You write them out and put them on my desk, and the questions are supposed to be done the next morning. We start the class with questions. I don't get many questions these days, but if questions come, we'll deal with them as long as it takes to answer them at the beginning of the class. Okay, 16.9. Ata eva tad atmakatvena jivasya tattasta shaktitvam pradanasya cha mayantar bhutatvam abhipretya shaktitrayam shri vishnu purana purane ganitam. Therefore, the Sri Vishnu Purana, while listing his three energies, assumes that the finite souls alone, being non-different from him, are his marginal energy, and that Maya includes the Pradhan. And the statement is, Vishnu Shakti Pada Prokta Kshetra Gyakya Tatapada Avidya Karma Sangyanya Tritiya Shaktir Ishyate Taya Tirohi Tatvacha Shakti Kshetra Gya Samgita Sarvabhute Shubhupala Tara tam yena vartate iti. Lord Vishnu's personal energy is known as superior. His other energy, called the knower of the field, Kshetrajna, is also superior. He has a third energy also, called activity in ignorance, avidya karma samgyanya. Because the energy known as the knower of the field becomes covered over by that third energy, O King, he lives in a variety of situations higher and lower among all forms of life. Okay, continuing the explanation of that verse. Avidya karma karyam yasya sa tatsangya mayet yartaha. She who creates activity in ignorance as her effect, karya, the product from her. The product created from her is activity in ignorance. She's known by the name activity in ignorance, or in other words, Maya. Not that literally she is that activity, but the activity comes from her. She's the cause of that activity in ignorance. So she gets the name of what she causes. Yadyapiyam bahir anga tatap yasya tatasta shakti mayam apijivam avaritum samartyam ast ityaha taya eti. She is external energy, but she is capable of covering the finite soul, even though he comprises the marginal energy. This is stated by the verse beginning taya. Jiva is superior to Maya because he's spirit, pure spirit. But Maya has the power to control the finite Jivas. Tata tamyena tat pritavaranasya brahmadistavaranteshu deheshu lagu guru bhavena vartate. Ityartaha. The jiva lives, as it said, in a hierarchy of situations, taratamyena, produced by Maya's covering.
That is to say, in inferior and superior statuses, in bodies, beginning from that of Brahma down to the immobile creatures. Taruktam yaya samohito jivaha. This is described by the words of the verse, by whom the jiva is bewildered. Okay. So I don't think we should have too much difficulty with this. We're familiar with the distinction of these three energies. Material, marginal, spiritual. Commentary. Here the second verse in the description of Vyasadeva's meditation is cited. Yaya samohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam parupi manute nartam tatkritam chabipadyate. Due to this external energy, the living entity, although transcendental to the three modes of material nature, thinks of himself as a material product and thus undergoes the reactions of material miseries. Okay, one more paragraph to finish the Anucheta. Ata eva jivasya rashmi staniyatvat mandala vilakshana maya vyavadana tiro dapaniya vaibhavatvam yuktam. Therefore it is appropriate that the jiva, standing as he does in the place of the sun's ray, I mean, he metaphorically is represented by the sun's ray. He is separate, therefore, from the original globe. If the Supreme Lord is the original globe and he's the ray, well, sun's rays are not the same as the sun globe. He is an opulence of the Supreme, subject to being obstructed and covered by Maya. Tadanantanam choktam yaya kshetra gyashakti sa tadam tamyena vartate. Okay. After stating this, it is further said that by the power of Maya, this energy who is the knower of the field lives in a variety of situations, higher and lower. Yayaiva chintyaya mayaya chidrupata nivikaratadi guna rahitasya pradanasya jaratvam vikaritvam cheti geyam. It can be also understood that by the same inconceivable maya, the pradana, which lacks the qualities of being spiritual and changeless, is inert and undergoes transformation. Okay. Let's see if we got that right. Maya is affecting Bradan? Yeah. By the inconceivable illusory potency of the Lord, this pradana, which is the original form of nature, it's not changed yet, but it's capable of being changed. So it's not alive, it's unconscious, it's inert, and it is transformable. It just takes the glance of the Supreme Lord to make the transformation start. Okay. Pradanasya maya vyangyatvam chagre darshayishyati. We will demonstrate later that the pradan manifests from maya. Okay, maya is the original energy, and from that comes pradan. That will be discussed later in the Sandarbhas. I think I identify. Yeah, I do. Okay, I tell you in the commentary where it is. Atra antarangatva tatastva but bahirangatvadi naiva tesham ekatmakanam tattat samyam natu sarvatmaneti tattat staniyatvam evoktam natu tattat rupatvam.
In this discussion, the energies are being equated with their counterparts as internal, marginal, and external, the counterparts of the sun's rays and so on. But not absolutely. They are said to be represented by their counterparts, sthaniya, rather than identical with them. Tatas tadta dosha api navakasham labante iti Sri Pipalayano Nimim. Thus, the various faults of their counterparts do not affect them. The faults of the reflections, you know, the limitations of the reflections don't affect the actual energies, which are just represented by them, partly. The verse under discussion, Bhagavatam 11.3.37, was spoken by Sri Pipalayana to Nimi. That was the verse at the very beginning of the Anuchheda. After that, there was the two verses from the Vishnu Purana, between Maitreya and Parashara. But the original verse was spoken by Pipalayana to Nimi Maharaj. Okay, let's go back and look at that verse at the very beginning of the Anuchheda and review what it is. 16.1 Satvam ajastama iti trivid ekam adhau sutram mahanaham iti pravadanti jivam jnana kriyarta palarupata yoru shakti brahmaiva bhati sadasachata yok param yat. Originally one, the absolute Brahman, comes to be known as threefold, manifesting itself as the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Brahman further expands its potency, and thus the power to act and the power of consciousness become manifest, followed by false ego. Authorities declare that all these are not different from the Supreme Soul. As the multipotencies of the absolute expand, there appear consciousness and activity, their objectives, and the final goal of life. In this way, Brahman becomes the subtle causes and the effects of creation. At the same time, Brahman remains transcendental to all subtle and gross material manifestations. Okay, now there's a commentary on this last paragraph. The origin of the pradhan as a partial expansion of the Supreme Lord's material energy maya will be discussed in text 52 and 53 of the Paramatma Sandarbha. So, okay, that will be somewhere in the middle of the Paramatma Sandarbha coming up. Maya is not herself matter, but the presiding deity of matter. Like the consort of the Supreme Lord, of whom she is a direct expansion, she belongs to the category of the personal Shaktis of the Lord. The world that Maya creates is imperfect, but she is a perfect servant. Thus, in comparing her to the outer glare of the sun, the marginal jivas to the rays of light coming from the sun, and the internal spiritual energy to the sun globe, Srila Jiva says that these energies are represented by these aspects of the sun, not that the identity is literal. All the Lord's personal energies are faultless. Faulty only are the reflections they produce in the medium of matter. Okay, we have finished the Anuchheda, and we can close the file. We have a few minutes. Anybody have any questions? No? Okay. I guess this part is not too difficult. So we'll stop here. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.